Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, I feel better heading into the ALCS than the ALDS. Now, don't get it twisted. I still have a healthy amount of fear because it is the baseball playoffs, and the baseball playoffs are a crapshoot. But Blankers, why I feel better entering the ALCS than the ALDS, quite simply, has nothing to do with the opponent, and it has everything to do with the length of the series. I hate, and look, this is always representative of good teams. What's the best way to eliminate a good team, to beat a good team? The lesser games in the series. It neutralizes the overall result, right? I think there's a reason the Dodgers, the Braves lose, and maybe even the Yankees lose in five-game series as opposed to a potential seven-game series. It's easier to beat a better team when you're playing a fewer amount of games.
Hot team, short series, recipe for disaster.
So I feel better about the CS than the DS. It has nothing to do with the opponent. It has everything to do that it's a long series at seven games as opposed to a five-game series that we see, even though the Astros swept said division series, said five-game series.
Now, one thing that we haven't talked about a lot because we've been, you know, reveling in the way that the Astros swept the Mariners and all of the stupid fodder that Seattle fans tried to bring to the table and the way they had to eat their words is the fact that realistically, and Brian McTaggart had this morning, the Astros have played three games in 13 days. So the fact that, and maybe you could say technically four games because they played two games for the price of one in that game three, but the fact is, three games, 13 days. It's kind of amazing in some ways that they were able to get the rust off and the majority of the lineup hit the baseball and did what they needed to do in order for them to win those ball games. And from a pitching perspective, that they, and especially in that last game, they could be so laser focused and have the control they needed to be able to get you through the way that they did. But now you got to do it again, because now you've got a team, whichever team wins today, that is playing more like their regular season schedule, where, you know, the Astros played several times where they played like 17, 18 games in a row, where the best way to kind of stay focused is to keep playing baseball games. Yeah, you got to leave one city and go to another, but as long as you continue to get in that batter's box against major league pitching, or you continue to throw, you know, against major league hitting, you're going to be sharp and you're going to be with your A game. And that's what you want at this time of the year. So from an Astros perspective, the only negative is going to be, can they bounce back yet again, being almost overly rested, to be able to get ready to go and put the pedal down from the first pitch tomorrow and really go forward and take their best shot at whoever they play?
3 days, much easier to like achieve than five.
Sure.
And also, like, coming off of that sweep, like coming off 18 innings, coming off being all the way in Seattle. Like, I feel like that day off on Sunday, which the Astros traveled back on Sunday anyways, like, that one almost doesn't even count. Like, that's not even
that's
like a day
of
rest.
That's more just to get rid of a hangover.
Yeah, exactly. It's a hangover day. And then, you know, they were working out today. I'm sure they were working out yesterday. Now, I don't think that you can completely bury that as a factor. I just don't think it's as much a factor as the five-day layoff that you had between the end of the regular season and game one of the DS. Do you feel more comfortable, too, in an ALCS as opposed to an ALDS, having, you know, the team has to beat you four times, not three, best of seven, not a best of five?
I've been harping on this since you and I started talking about the playoffs. That's why I was concerned going into whoever they played in the first round. Hot team, short series, that is a recipe for disaster. That is where great teams go to die, and we saw this happen with the Braves and the Dodgers. You can be the best team over 162 games, and you can win 100 of those games or more, and you can send messages as much as you like and show off how much talent you have. But if you get any kind of, for any reason at all, a chance to where you get too comfortable and you kind of relax just for a half second, take that big deep breath, and another team who's got the pedal down has a ton of confidence, has a ton of cockiness, has that belief in their eyes that no matter who we face on the other side of the diamond, they can't beat us now in this moment the way we are playing. It is scary. And that's what we've seen so far. That's why we talked about what baseball might have to do to give more of an advantage to the teams that earned it over the 162.
I know a lot of fan bases that aren't in Los Angeles, that aren't in Atlanta, and if the Yankees lose tomorrow, that aren't in New York, have been like, say, oh, just play better, right? Just win the games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Major League Baseball is not going to be too huge of fans of the fact that the Dodgers went down the top seed in the National League. The Yankees could potentially lose today, be eliminated, the second seed in the American League, and of course those are very big markets. I think that Major League Baseball is going to look into something on how to shorten that gap.
They have to, because from a baseball perspective, when the networks come knocking on the door and say, we just saw an opportunity to have New York, LA, Houston, and Atlanta, which is a bigger market than you think, all involved in the best part of postseason baseball, go out the window, and you replace them with San Diego, Philadelphia, though it's a big market, mm-hmm. and a big city, it's not the same, and it could be Cleveland and the Astros, and you look at it and go, if I am a national network, and I'm from the sponsors I'm trying to sell, the sponsorships I'm trying to sell, and the return on investment for baseball that I'm trying to get, I'm not happy at all.
Yesterday, I was on the fence on who I wanted to win the Yanks and the Guards. I really was. I could make an argument both sides of it. Now that they didn't play yesterday at Yankee Stadium, which, by the way, the Yankees were pushing that the entire way, and the Guardians immediately, after they banged yesterday's game, immediately said who the Yankees were starting, which is, you know, Nestor the Molester, Nestor Cortez, who wasn't going to be available yesterday. Maybe an inning out of relief, but now 3 days rest. He's pitching today on short rest, and it doesn't look like the Guardians are going to go with Bieber. So, like, the Guardians wanted to play last night. Yankees wanted to play today. That way they could start Cortez. Secondly, do you see this whole, like, the Guardians situation with the hotels, that the hotel that they were staying at was booked last night, so they couldn't get everybody back into the room. There wasn't a single hotel in the New York area that could, you know, fit the needs of what the Guardians needed. So they're literally, like, the travel rosters at like four or five different hotels scattered across New York, which is a terrible scenario for the Guardians. It's not at all built for the Guardians to win this. Major League Baseball is taking care of the Yankees, which is a huge surprise, right? I want the Yankees to win. And the reason, this has nothing to do with, like, the path. We'll get into that a little bit later. This has nothing to do with that they're the Yankees. If I'm looking at the two rosters and the state of the pitching staffs heading into the ALCS, I think it's in the best interest of the Astros to face the Yankees. If the Guardians win today, they have Shane Bieber, who's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, that would be ready to go in game one, and it means that he would be ready to go twice on full day's rest. Tristan McKenzie will be lined up for game two and would be able to go twice on
Astros
full day's rest.
Astros fans already know what he can do.
Both of those guys are dudes. Both of those guys are studs. If the Yankees win today, Gerrit Cole and Nestor Cortez can only pitch twice in this series combined on full rest. Now, I firmly believe that they'll probably both go on short rest at some point, but look, that lowers the effectiveness of a pitcher. So I rather have the Guardian, I rather have the Yankees, knowing that I only get Cole and Cortez twice combined on full day's rest, as opposed to what the Guardians can do with their pitching staff. And look, I know the Yankees have a lot of thunder in their lineup. They hit home runs. They do all of that. The Guardians don't have that outside of Jose Ramirez, but they hit for average. They get on base. They steal bases. They play small ball. That type of team scares me in the playoffs.
And they're well managed. And I think they have a notch above a Boone-managed Yankees team. I see it. I think that, look, as much as the one thing that I don't want is for the Astros to just breeze through the playoffs and never see the Dodgers or the Yankees and or the Braves and have everybody say you didn't play anybody, and that taint their second World Series and the World Series that I said was so important to validate everything they've done over this 6-7 year run. But at the same time, if you, again, prove that you are the Yankees' daddy and you are able to take it to them, they're a boom or bust team, and we know it. They don't have guys that hit for average. They have guys that create a big inning with one swing of the bat, and they try their best to just keep the team in the game until one of those big bats does what they do, whether it be Stanton or Judge. Judge also hits for average, but with DJ LeMahieu out of the lineup, who was a very consistent, steady, really good hitter for average as well, I think that they're even more boom or bust. And with those guys, Rizzo, Stanton, and Judge, I don't care if Bader found some kind of power surge mm-hmm. early on here in the playoffs. He doesn't scare me. And the rest of their lineup really doesn't scare me. And the biggest thing is the Astros sent the message home and road in the regular season that we have really, really good pitching that can take care of your boom or bust more times than not, as opposed to an Indians team that, I mean, sorry, a Guardians team that, quite frankly, the Astros had their issues with, and they know how good that the Cleveland team can be.
Is it ridiculous to say I want the Yankees so that we don't all keep calling them the Indians all series on accident?
Pedro Martinez yesterday during the, I was watching their pregame show before the scheduled first pitch. Pedro Martinez called them Indians like three or four times in a row. Ernie Johnson goes Guardians, and Pedro Martinez called them Indian three or four more times after that, and it was hilarious.
If we get the Indians, we might almost have to make a bit of it. How many times will we say Indians?
You know what I've learned to do that's prevented me from saying Indians? I call them the Guards. If you call them the Guards and you commit yourself to call them the Guards, you'll never call them the Indians again. I guarantee it. Okay. I guarantee it. It works. It really does work. I promise you that it works. There's a lot of people in the city that want the Yankees from, like, they want to be the people that eliminate the Yankees, which is fine. I'm cool with that. I certainly understand, respect that logic. I'm looking at it from who I think would be a better matchup from the Houston Astros. I firmly believe it is the New York Yankees.
I'm curious who the fans want, because I would really like to hear from the fans and say, who do they want? Because they know that they've been in, you know, whether they viewed it just from a casual observer standpoint or they've been knee deep in Twitter and other things where they've gotten into it with Yankees fans. And they know that, you know, they've gotten the best of the Yankees over this glorious run of the golden era of Houston Astros baseball. Do they want them again? Do they want to send the message one last time and eliminate them and have that be even sweeter? Or they just want whoever they get, and if it's Cleveland, then so be it. But then, you know, you take whoever's in your path until you get where you need to go, and you beat Cleveland, and you don't worry about the Yankees. You laugh and say, hey, Dodger fans, Yankees fans, you were the ones that said you needed to get us. Well, you didn't get to us or as far as us to do what you needed to do. I'm curious what Houston thinks.
Let us know. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also, are you happy with the postseason results? The quote, easier path, if you believe that. Or do you worry that it may get used to discredit a potential World Series run if the Astros are lucky enough to get that far? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, right now with the weather changing constantly and going from rain to sunshine, cold, you got to make sure that your weatherized house is ready to go for whatever comes its way. And now is a great time to get in touch with Fitz Roofing, because they're going to do a free no obligation inspection of your roof and tell you, hey, look, your drywall, your possessions, they could all be in danger. You got a leaky roof, or you've got bad shingles, and if you don't replace them, you run the risk of really having some damage to your property and your structure if you don't take care of it before the next storm hits. That's how good they are, and they do all of that for free. It could cost you with other companies $75 to $100 just to have them come to your front doorstep. Not with Fitz Roofing. They believe in what they do, and they believe they can help you, so they do it for free. All you do is pick up the phone, 832-521-3001. They come to you, tell you what they can do to help, and they go on with the rest of their day. You want them to actually do the work? Schedule the appointment and realize they're going to take care of you from beginning to end and all the way through the entire process. Great customer service is part of it. They have the best warranties in the business, the best ratings in the business. They use the best products in the business, like CertainTeed Shingles. They also do more than roofing. They do home repairs and fences too. Check them out today on the website to see all the different services they offer at FITZroofing.com. But more so, schedule that appointment if you got something going on. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do you want the Yankees or the Guards tomorrow? Game one of the ALCS. This is the first time in Major League Baseball history where two rounds are overlapping. The ALDS, the NLCS, first time in history that has been done. And then the winner of that series, the ALDS, will be hopping a flight in less than 24 hours. We'll be playing the Astros inside of Minute Maid Park for game one. Yanks or Guards, who do you want to see? Ocho says history shows the Astros beat the Blue Bloods and lose to the non-Blue Bloods. I think that's a vote for the Yankees, right? Unless we're just trying to put down the Yankees. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Justin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Justin?
Hey guys, in my personal opinion, I wouldn't care if we played the Guardians or the Yankees. And just to kind of speak on the whole, if we were to make it to the World Series and the Yankees and the Dodgers didn't, I kind of look at it like, well, you can't say we didn't we never really played anybody. If you guys weren't even able to get to us, you know, to kind of make that argument. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, Justin, and I believe that too. Like I hear where you're at, and I also echo that. In relation to, like, I don't care about the Yanks and the guards who you play. That's how I was yesterday. The extra day and the fact that they're going Cortez, I believe the Yankees become a better matchup for the Houston Astros. Now, the clear path, the easier path, 713-780-ESPN. We want your input on this as well. 713-780-3776. Are you happy, okay, with the easier path, or do you worry it may get discredited by national media if the Astros do make a World Series run?
Here's where I'm thinking. The only thing that we haven't discussed yet would be worst-case scenario. Worst-case scenarios for Astros would be if they get eliminated in this round. If you get eliminated in this round, you get eliminated by the Yankees, now you've got a whole lot of new crap talk, and it's going to be never-ending all offseason, all next year, and all back and forth and around. If you lose to Cleveland, you were the last good team standing, 100-win team standing, and you were better than the other two teams that like to bitch at you, so you don't have to deal with all of that. And I understand that's the worst-case scenario, and we don't see that happening, and we believe that this team is destined to get to another World Series and hopefully win it. I'm just looking at it from all angles and saying the one thing you wouldn't have to deal with is obnoxious Yankee fan all offseason and them finally having one carrot in their hand to go, but we got you. We got you this year.
The Yankees wouldn't have any ground to stand on, though, because they lost to the Guardians. Like, if the Guardians were so bad and so crappy and so awful of a Major League Baseball team.
If you lost to the Yankees in the ALCS.
Yeah, which would be the more difficult path, though, right?
Like, it's a more difficult path, but it also presents a more difficult offseason. If you take on Cleveland and you lose,
but in terms of the postseason results so far, like if you started the playoffs, like you were facing the Mariners, the more difficult path would be Mariners, Yankees, and then Dodgers in the World Series.
Right.
You of course had to start with the Mariners, but there's a path that it's potential and possible that you go Mariners, Guardians, and then like Phillies to get to the World Series. Are you okay with the quote unquote easier path, or do you worry it may just get discredited by national media?
Again, I worry about not getting the credit you deserve if your run is the easiest path. If it's the path of such least resistance that you just painted the picture of, that people say, yeah, sure, you did win two in that run, but the second one, you didn't play anybody. You didn't play the top teams in baseball. Is that our fault or is that theirs? They have to get there too, but then you've got more explaining to do. Instead of just saying, hey, been there, done that, did it again. This time we got up on top again. We won the series that we had to play against the teams that presented themselves to be played, and that's the way it went. I think you got more explaining to do if you don't do it against at least one of the big blue bloods. But at the end of the day, you still get the hardware. I get it.
Yeah, see, I think that logic is silly. Like the whole, not yours, the whole easier path logic. Like that you get the Guardians in the ALCS, you didn't get the Yankees, and how that you would now be docked points because you get the guards and not the Yankees. Well, who beat the Yankees? Who eliminated the Yankees? Well, it was the Guardians. Like, it doesn't matter who you're playing. Just because they had a worse record, well, they just dethroned the Yankees. So, like, you get credit for beating the Guardians, who then beat the Yankees. If you do get to the World Series and you're facing, it doesn't matter, right? Both teams are wild card teams, Phillies and the Padres. You don't get discredited for your ride to a World Series and lifting the trophy because you're playing the Padres or the Phillies when it's the Dodgers and the Mets that weren't able to take care of business. The Astros don't get discredit for the Dodgers losing. Padres beat them. They don't get discredited because the Mets lost. The Phillies beat them. The Braves got beat by the Phillies as well. Like, they don't get, well, it was Padres who beat the Mets. They don't lose credit. If you win the World Series, you win the World Series. It doesn't matter how you win it all. It doesn't matter the opponents along the way because all of the other big dogs, well, they got beat.
That's the biggest thing, is the fact that from the narrative of any market that has an issue with what you did, how far you went, and who you played to get there, your biggest issue should be with your own team. Your biggest issue should be with your own team, because if you have the best record in baseball, Dodgers, and everybody, including people that listen to this show that are Dodger fans, telling us, just wait till the postseason. Just wait till you come up short against the ultimate World Series champion, Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, now in the offseason, if you want to bitch at us or bitch at and say you didn't play the right teams, you didn't, you know, or be critical, You need to look in the mirror first, because you need to be critical of the team that had all this talent, that had the best record in the game, fell short. Well, from the Braves, you're the reigning World Series champions with all this young pitching talent and all these guys you didn't have a year ago, starting with maybe their best player, and yet you fell short.
We'll see how history bears this out, but I think you could make the case the Astros actually deserve more credit if they win the World Series this year. Because I don't know what history shows, but I can't imagine there's been a ton of years where there's been this many 100-win teams. The top of the MLB this year is a lot better than it normally is. And still, none of those guys but you advanced to the ALCS, of course, if the Yankees were to lose. I think there's a case that you deserve more credit for being able to survive the layoff.
Well, I think
and the
well
schedule
said.
And all the different things that are going to be evaluated at the end of the year.
It's grueling, right? Like you've to Brendan said, it's one of the years that's unprecedented. It's not totally unprecedented, but it's one of the more unprecedented years where you have so many 100-win teams. So you're showing that the cream of the crop is there. You're also able to navigate. Like, look, a lot of people are saying, well, you just got to play better. Who cares about the 5 days off, the rest, rust, whatever, just go win games. And, like, I get that. But it does influence it. Dusty Baker flat out said that he thought his team was rusty in Houston. But they were able to overcome it. They won it. You tip your cap. You play who's in front of you. As Alex says on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Also, like, this is Major League Baseball. This isn't, like, in this NCAA tournament, there's no bad teams. Like, but playing a 12 seed over a 5 seed, you're probably going to have a better chance of beating a 12 than a 5, even if the 12 upsets the 5, right? This is Major League Baseball. You're talking about the very best of the best. We're making a case where the Guardians, who didn't have as many regular season wins, could be a better matchup for the Guardians could be
tougher.
A more difficult matchup for the Astros than the Yankees, because they have legitimate players.
And
the
just,
same thing on the other side, like Padres. Padres are loaded.
No doubt.
The Phillies are really good in
a
playoff.
But here's the thing. Just the cynics are going to come at you, and they're going to say, you know what? You had, to Brendan's point, you had all those 100-win teams. You had all those great teams in baseball. You didn't play one of them. You didn't play one of them to get the title, and that's where their argument's going to be. The fact that of all those great teams, you never saw one of them to get where you inevitably and eventually wanted, needed, and got to win the title. I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying that's an argument that's going to come your way.
Yeah, you know what I say to them? Screw them.
Oh, that's
screw
true.
Them. I don't want to hear from them. I don't care about their opinion now. I'm not going to care about their opinion then.
The good, you know, the thing is, too, is when you look at it in the Astros' favor, they beat a Mariners team that might, in what might have been the closest sweep in the history of baseball.
hard
you know, because
that.
you look at it and say, game one, should they have won? No. Could they have won? Maybe. You saw the win percentages and what happened until Yordan's home run. Game one looked like it was in the Mariners' back pocket with their ace coming in game two. The fact that you were down late and found a way to win the way you did in another nail biter just tells you how close the series was. And then it takes 18 innings. You played the equivalent of two games to get through to win the third game of the series. It couldn't have been any tighter. It couldn't have been any more competitive. And so you earned every bit of it. And you know what? With the pressure and everything on the line, you stepped up to do it time and time again. Clutch hitting, big hitting, doing what you needed to do with pitching.
Facts. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, guys, I think the only reason why this argument is coming up is because it's the Astros that are still the only team left with 100-plus wins. You know who I want to see play? The Astros play? I want to see whoever wins today. That's who I want to see the Astros play. I mean, what have we been saying about baseball, right? We are going to play a one way during the regular season, but what matters is who's hot at the end of the year. That's what matters. I mean, these Dodger fans saying that if the Astros win, it doesn't count. There's an asterisk. No, it's because the Padres are hot right now. The National League teams are hot right now. They're coming out, and it's going to be a good series.
Appreciate the call, Chris. I also want to play who wins today, as long as it's the Yankees. I also want to play in the World Series to whoever wins the National League Championship Series between the Padres and the Phillies. I think that it takes a different style of team to be good in the regular season and to be good in the postseason. I think that how a team is built, you can be built for October, you can be built for a regular season. Those two don't always align.
But you know what Herm Edwards would say? to the college point. No, you play who wins the game. You play to win who wins the game. And that's who you want to see him play.
713-780-ESPN. Who do you want to play? And are you happy with the postseason results, even if it's this quote-unquote easier path? I say that's hogwash. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, I've been telling you about them for years now. Doco told me the other day, I've been going for 2 years. And I've seen the results on a daily basis. I have more energy in my life. I've gotten on a better workout program. I've lost weight. I've gained muscle. I've done the things that I wanted and, quite frankly, needed to do when I started meeting with Doco and his staff. You can do the exact same thing. It's for both men and women, though it says Apollo Men's Health in the title. And I see women in the lobby all the time when I'm in there, and they're thanking me just as much as the guys are, saying, I heard you talk about it. I wanted to check it out. Boy, am I glad I did. I feel like night and day better than I did before I started coming here. You can too. It's a variety of different services they offer that can help you. And of course, it's finding energy on a daily basis. It could be the B12 shot that I get every week, or you might want to take it to another level and look into all the different ways they offer hormone therapy. If you're interested in a workout program, well, then you might start with a body composition analysis and then take another one every so often so you can chart your results and progress so you can see your body fat going down and you can feel and see your muscle mass going up and all the numbers that are important changing in the right direction. You want to recover quicker? HGH peptide therapy. Want stuff for your smoothies? They got that, as well as fat burners and other supplements too. They have two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston, with more coming down the road. But the most important thing you need to do, set up your first appointment. Go to apollomh.com right now. You can set up that appointment right there online. And when you do, you can also find out most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel. But then when you go in for your first visit, mention my name, Joel Blank. You'll get a free B12 shot or that body composition analysis on your first official look in. When you do get those kind of things, you'll see that they are focused on getting you results. They care about their patients. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. You're going to love what they can do for you. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Todd, the show says, I think making the ALCS 6 years in a row has already changed the narrative. I think there's truth to that. Johnny Footwedge on Twitter, I agree losing to the Yankees is worst-case scenario. I wouldn't mind losing to the Guards. I'd mind losing to both, so I'd rather play Cleveland. Now, you get Bieber twice on full rest. You get McKenzie twice on full rest. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Johnny, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Johnny?
Yes, I'm like some of the other callers and like Jeremy. It really doesn't matter to me who we play. I don't think validation of who we play, who the Astros play, is actually comes into play here. I mean, they all MLB baseball teams. Mm-hmm. They all into the playoffs regardless of who they are, what color stripes they wear. I mean, they either going to win or lose, and I still believe we have a better team pitching-wise and bat-wise going forward. So I honestly don't care who the Astros play.
Appreciate the call, Johnny. Look, Guardians won 92 of their 162 games this year. The Yankees won 99 of their 162. Because the Yankees won 7 more games in the regular season of 162, if you don't face the Yankees and you get the Guardians, you're supposed to tell me that that's an easier path? I'm not listening to that BS.
I think you summed it up very, very well yesterday, because you said that the Cleveland team is a more advanced version of the Mariners team. And I couldn't agree more.
I do think that.
Because you do have an all-star, maybe all-world third baseman in Ramirez.
Maybe the most underrated player in all of baseball.
Without question. And you complement him with just as much good young talent. You might not have a J-Rod per se, but you have multiple players that are on the come up that are extremely talented, that have proven in the playoffs and all through the regular season, they can play this game at a very, very high level. And then you complement all of that with an ace and with a good young pitching staff of lively, above-average arms that can get you in a variety of different ways and get you out of a lot of situations. You have a really, really talented team that's only going to get better because they will have some money to spend where they can get a couple of veterans. They're not going to overspend. We know that. But they're more advanced because Kelnick and some of the guys you were expecting for the Mariners didn't yet get to where they need to
complete.
Go. A Mitch Haniger isn't as great as some of the guys that Cleveland puts out there. So you look at it and you go, you know what? If you thought you had your hands full with Seattle, Cleveland could play now too.
You know one thing that's also terrifying about this Guardian team? Their bullpen, other than the Astros, is the best bullpen left in the playoffs. They are nasty. And they have that horse in the back end too.
Ooh, 102
Emmanuel again. Class A. Maybe the best reliever in all of baseball. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line for James. James, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up?
Thanks, guys. Good show. Yeah, I'm of the opinion, man, I don't care who we play. I think the Astros have proved that they're the best team in the American League. If we played the Yankees, I could care less because, I mean, we pretty much spanked them every game we played them this year. Mm-hmm. And I think people talk about it because they like to compare it. You know, even back when the Rockets won back-to-back championship and they always wanted to put an asterisk on it because, you know, Michael Jordan wasn't a part of those. I don't care. You are who you are and you be who you be.
Yeah, I don't believe in the whole asterisk. I really don't. Like, people like in Houston also want to put an asterisk on the Dodgers. I refuse to do that myself because the Dodgers went through the playoffs. That was the toughest playoff to ever navigate in Major League Baseball history. Look, you're playing in the pros. You get through however many teams you have to get through, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the NBA, whether it's Major League Baseball. You win it all, you win it all. Every team that you're playing in the postseason is good. Every single one of them.
Yeah, you know, and when you look at it, the only argument that I had is you know, things change over a 162-game season. Teams start out hot, and by the time the regular season is done, your true colors show. You come back to the norm a little bit, and you find out who you really are. After 60 games, I mean, a third of the season, it's really tough to say you could really evaluate clearly who the Dodgers were that year. But you're right, in terms of the playoff run, they did everything they needed to do. They beat the teams in front of them. They played the extra series. They won the ring. So you tip your cap. But there's always ways that we can nitpick. And just like we say with analytics, there's always a number that and a formula that's going to support whatever argument you want to make. But at the end of the day, it still says in every record book who won the World Series that year, Los Angeles Dodgers. It doesn't say how many wins that went with it. There's no asterisk, just like there isn't one for the Astros in 17. And you just move on. As it relates to this season, this year, this team, I think that the caller brings up one really, really valid point. That is, when you go into a series against Cleveland, they have confidence against you because they know who you are. They've seen what you've been able to do. And quite frankly, they did it better for a majority of the series with the numbers you brought up yesterday. When it looks at on the other side of the equation, if you look at it from a Yankees perspective, you say, hey, been there, done that, and whooped that ass yet again. Played daddy, father figure, and they should send us flowers and golf balls and a tie on Father's Day, because once again, we showed you at the end of the day, even at that time when you were riding on top of the baseball world, that it ain't over by a long shot. You've got a real big obstacle somewhere coming up in your windshield, and it did.
Yanks have the names. They have the MVP. They have the thunder. They have the pop. They have the home runs. I get all of that. And overall, I think they are a better offense than the guards. Not sure they're a better matchup, especially in the postseason against the Astro pitching staff. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line for William. William, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I just wanted to make a comment about Joe, what he said about all these teams nitpicking at us. All these 100-win teams couldn't make, you know, the second round. Well, what's that say about them? They couldn't make it. So they can't talk to us because we made it.
That's where I'm at, William.
Yeah,
appreciate the call.
Up.
Those
yep.
teams lose. They have no ground to stand on. They can't say, oh, the Astros had an easy path. When you lost to the easy path that you're trying to sell to me.
And I think the beauty of it is, too, when you start talking all season long and continue throughout the entire regular season, we'll see come playoffs. When we beat you, we'll see this. When we get, you know, end up at the top of the mountain, we'll see this. And then you're already home or on the boat gone fishing. And you're going to still be talking about what the Astros did or didn't do. I mean, at a certain point, you're out of the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. 713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Jeff, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Doing well.
Oh, good. There should be no asterisks around Houston's this year or in 17. The team who wins, wins. The argument about... Yo, my team was better, but man, if you get to the bottom line, the team that could not win under pressure or at the end is gone. So, I'm from the Bronx, so you know where I used to catch balls for the Yankees when I was a kid.
Nice.
Back in the 60s. So the thing is that when you, and you know, it's like folks say, well, we beat you all in the past. The past don't even count. Okay? Whoever gets hot at playoff time, which San Diego and Philly did, knocked off a couple hundreds, okay, that's it. Okay? So who's going to be hot today to play you?
Jeff, are you a Yankee fan still, or are you an Astro fan? Did you convert?
Huh?
Are you? Which team do you pull for in the playoffs? I'm curious, from being from the Bronx. You still a Yankee fan?
I grew up in the Bronx. What'd you say?
Who are you rooting for? Who's your team? Who's your baseball team?
Oh, Yankees.
Hang up on Jeff. Kidding. We appreciate you listening to the Killer Bees. Enjoy the conversation. Cool that he, you know, was catching home runs in the ballpark there in the house that Ruth built. That's pretty cool. But I agree with what Jeff had to say. I like also how he said they beat a couple hundreds. I like that. I'm going to steal that from him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, at the end of the day, look, Costas, as much as you might not like him.
Don't bring up that
and you
name.
Can't stand him. But he even tried to defend the Astros during the course of the game the other night.
Did he? I heard he was bringing up trash cans.
Well, he did bring them up, but he was like, look, it's crazy how forever and a day, if you were sly in the way that you were being able to pick up with the naked eye or otherwise with your teammates what the signals were, then you were savvy, true baseballers on the team and tip your cap. But the minute that you use technology, suddenly you're going to be, you know, kibosh and you're going to be trashed literally with the trash can and you're going to be killed for it. Well, the fact is, the more people that I talk to in the game, the more there's even more validation to the other stories and people that I've talked to in the past that said everybody's been doing it. Everybody's still doing it. Everybody's trying to do it in a different way now that these ways have been, you know, seen through. And the fact is that you still, at the end of the day, you got to hit the ball. You got to throw the ball. You got to catch the ball. And you got to do it in the biggest situations. Sure, you think you might have an advantage. But even if you have an advantage, you still got to make the contact. It's got to be hit in the right spot. All these different things factor in. That's why I've always been so staunch about getting upset when everybody overly sells the fact that the cheating was the only reason they won the title.
713-780-ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Mark, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, Mark?
Remember that two of our Hall of Famers, Justin Verlander and Altuve, ain't came to the party yet.
That's a great point.
Whoever come in our way, we mowing them down. We mowing down all bombs. Cleveland, New York, Philly, San Diego. We mowing down bombs and go Houston Astros. Thank you, sir.
Man, you say they're mowing down bums? I need Marcus my hype man. That was a great call. We're mowing down all the bums. I don't care if it's Cleveland, New York, San Diego, Philly. They're all bums. They're not getting in the way of the Astros. Great point, too, about Verlander and Altuve. Astros swept without their best pitcher showing up. And with their leadoff man and their second-best offensive player not showing up. 713-780-ESPN. Howard Balzer, NFL Hall of Fame voter. I guess Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Let's pick his brain on what's going on around the NFL. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, Doc Linville's a game changer. He can be a life changer because he can do something that people really thought for years and years was never able to be done. That's get your hair back. When you started losing your hair, thinning and balding, the only alternative for a lot of people was to shave it off or get a rug. Because of the fact that you were never going to get your own hair back. Now, thanks to the NeoGraft procedure, he can bring your own hair back. It's not sprays and creams and foams and all those things that just mask the problem. It's actually your real hair. And genetically, as Doc explained it to me, the sides and the back of your head will always have hair. It's just the way your body grows. So why not take some of that hair while still not losing any coverage there and put it where you need it? Maybe it's the baboon's butt that's showing on the top back of your head. Maybe your forehead became an 8-head and you want your hairline back. All of that is exactly why the NeoGraft procedure was created, because it can put hair where you lost it and don't have it anymore and give you more coverage area, more confidence, and an overall better look on a daily basis. Therefore, I encourage you as an ESPN listener to go to 975hair.com. Get all the information. Set up an appointment, which is free for you. It's $150 for other people that don't listen to the station. And just ask the questions to find out about the process to see if it can be right for you too. I did it. John Granato did it. Jake did it. Fred Fowler did it. Everybody that's done it raves about it because you get your hair back and it is awesome. And it's your real hair. Feels the same, looks the same, grows the same. And it's going to be there for the rest of your life. 95%+ of the follicles that are moved grow and stay for the rest of your life. It is amazing. Check it out today. Tell them I sent you by. Doc Linville's the best at doing the NeoGraft. And as an ESPN listener, you can get a free consultation. Just go to 975hair.com.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Howard Balzer, our favorite pro football guy, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, joining us on the HR&P guest line. We've been missing you, Howard. Didn't have the opportunity to chat last week. We missed that very dearly. I got to ask you about the Giants, because I'm kind of bullish on Brian Daboll. Like, he's doing a fantastic job with the New York Giants. What do you think of the job that he's doing there in the Big Apple?
Well, he's established a new culture. I think that's clear. But, you know, I think six games does not a head coaching career make. And certainly he's been helped by the fact that Saquon Barkley is healthy. And Daniel Jones so far has stayed healthy. He's not a world beater at quarterback, but the guy has been successful in the past when he stayed healthy. That's been his big problem, is he hasn't been able to do that. And I think one of the things overlooked about the team is that, and it's overlooked a lot, guys, when teams struggle on offense, and boy, do we see a lot of teams struggling on offense this season, and we could debate why that is for about an hour. But most of the time, when teams struggle on offense, it's because of the offensive line. And we see that with the Rams, how decimated they are. And everyone I hear talk, oh, Matthew Stafford has regressed. Oh, really? I mean, he's getting sacked. He doesn't have a deep threat. And you can't throw deep when the line can't protect you. And so that's usually where it starts. And I think one of the overlooked things about the Giants is the offensive line, because in the first six games, every guy that started game one has been there all year. They've started every game. They have two guys at tackle that were former number one picks, and that line is playing, you know, overall pretty well. And so the offense is doing what it has to. Defense is, you know, is very aggressive. And so they've found a way to win some games that obviously most people never thought that they would win.
Howard, it's interesting because a lot of the teams that people had earmarked to be Super Bowl contenders, and it fits the narrative you were talking about with the Rams, just insert Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers, yeah, into the same problems you were talking about with the Rams. Insert Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, in a lot of ways, except for the fact that you have a deep threat in Mike Evans, but really you've had enough injuries to where that could be an issue too. At the end of the day, we're looking at a trade deadline a couple weeks away. Where do you see teams being able to make moves that can make them better and salvage their season? I think about me being a Packer fan saying they got to find some wide receivers. You know, Tampa needs, you talked about Tampa needs line help. The Rams are probably looking for line help, and OBJ's still out there.
There's a lot of teams, and the problem is every team knows how important the line is, and you're not going to trade, certainly you're not going to trade a starter, and you're not going to trade your depth, because all you need is a starter to go down, and all of a sudden you have no depth. And so that becomes an issue in terms of making a deal that's going to make some kind of difference. And I thought it was interesting yesterday when Matt, you mentioned the Packers, when Matt LaFleur spoke with the media, and Aaron Rodgers made a comment after the game Sunday about we need to simplify things on offense. And Matt LaFleur said, I don't even know what he means by that. And then went on to say, I talked to him about it, and it's all about execution. And coaches and players can scream about execution all they want, which is really what determines what a team does. But as soon as an offense struggles, all the critics, you know, criticize the play caller. Oh, it's the play calls. Well, you can have the greatest play. You could have the greatest play in the world called, but if an offensive lineman misses a block or someone isn't where they're supposed to be, then the play blows up, and it has nothing to do with the play call. And then LaFleur went on to say, he said, you have to be better blocking, otherwise you can't get anything done. And that was his direct quote from yesterday, and a little bit maybe, you know, say through the line under the bus, but those linemen know when they're not playing well. And you very rarely see a coach, though, come out and say that specifically.
But Howard, the reason why I brought it up the way I did, too, was in a lot of cases, teams that we had written off as being teams headed for high draft picks like the Jets and Giants are overachieving, so they're not going to be doing anything. The one team that plays in our backyard is the team that is exactly who we thought they were going to be in the Texans. They have a Laremy Tunsil. They have a Brandon Cooks. They have guys that should have extra value with the demands and needs of top teams in this league. Do you see scenarios where the Texans may be able to get something and maybe more because they have guys that other teams should want?
It's possible, and I think Cooks maybe makes more sense than Tunsil, all because, you know, granted, he's been traded once already, so you move on from him, and then things, you know, unless you really believe in a guy that you're going to plug in for him, and even if you believe in that guy for the rest of this season, what do you do going forward? And how do they view him in terms of a building block for the future? And so we'll see. And certainly it's always possible that something like that could happen. And in a case like that, you make a good point in terms of a team that, hey, they're not really going very far, but what do they think of their future? I mean, we saw Carolina. They're all the talk about them just shedding talent. But how do you then attract a new head coach? I mean, how do you attract a head coach to that franchise when you don't have a quarterback and you start trading away some of your better players? And of course, you know, yesterday they traded Robbie Anderson to the Cardinals, who have offensive line issues of their own, and is a big part of why they've struggled offensively. So it's tough. It's very tough to really make a move in season that's going to help. And you mentioned, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., and who knows when he's going to be able to play. Most everyone says it's going to be sometime next month. At least that's when he'll be healthy enough to get on the field. But then how long will it be before he can actually be productive when he hasn't played a game or hasn't practiced, done anything football-related since the Super Bowl? So how much can you really count on that? And I know fans, everybody, you know, they bring up guys who have names and just say, oh, there's a guy. Well, mm-hmm. Okay, that guy's a pretty good player, but there's no quick fix in some of those guys. And we all think sometimes that a guy goes out for injury or whatever it is and misses X number of games, that when they come back, they're going to be the same guy. And maybe in outlying situations that can happen, but most of the time that doesn't happen immediately. So, you know, and the Rams still say they're interested in bringing Beckham back, and maybe they are. Maybe they think that'll give him a jump start. But once again, if they can't block, I mean, I believe last week they were on their third starting guard, their third starting center, and one of the centers they moved from guard to center, and then he got hurt. And then on top of that, the guy who was replacing Andrew Whitworth at left tackle, who retired in the offseason, Joe Noteboom, he tore his Achilles over the weekend. He's done. So what are they going to do at left tackle? So
Andre Whitworth.
It just shows that, you know, everyone loves to hate the offensive coordinators and all that, but even a guy like, obviously, the boy wonder of them all, right? Sean McVay, the genius,
yeah.
Right? Well, it just shows if you don't have the players, it's going to be difficult. And I'm always reminded, guys, of what Dick Vermeil said during the great, greatest show on turf days of the Rams in 1999, after that team was 5-11 and 4-12 the previous 2 years. And he always would say, I became such a much better coach when I got better players.
Yeah, Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's, right, Howard?
There
Howard Balzer joining us on the HRMP guest line. We were talking earlier about the AFC West. I think it's the most disappointing division in all of the NFL. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're the one exception here. But the Raiders had playoff aspirations after making the playoffs a year ago and spending big in the offseason. They're a one-win team right now. Denver trades all the draft capital, spends all the money for Mr. Limited Russell Wilson, who's been atrocious. Nathaniel Hackett's been atrocious. And the Chargers, to me, again, or another disappointing team. Last year missed the playoffs with a really good roster. This year, I still think they'll probably get in. I don't think Brandon Staley, though, is bringing out the most from that team.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that go on. And, you know, they haven't had Keenan Allen. Now they don't have Joey Bosa. So we can't underestimate injuries. And I know the little cliche, I call it the cliche lazy narrative response whenever anyone brings up injuries is, well, all teams have injuries. Well, yeah, all teams are affected to a certain degree. Some are lucky and avoid a lot of injuries. But there are injuries that affect a lot of teams. But not every team is equal in terms of who the guys are that are getting hurt and how that affects your team. And that's, you know, that's certainly a big part of it, that, you don't hear coaches talk about it or players, because then everyone accuses them of making excuses. And all you hear is, well, you know, it's next man up. We got to adjust. Well, there's a reason that there's certain guys that are backups. And that doesn't mean that a backup can't come in and play at a high level. But if all of a sudden you're missing five starters on an offense or defense, chances are you're not going to have five backups who are going to come in and play, you know, close to the level of those guys that were starters. And that affects teams. And we've seen a bunch in the, you know, guys, right now, believe it or not, there's only 10 teams in the NFL. Now, granted, it's only six games. I get that. There's a bunch of teams that are 3-3. But there's only 10 teams in the league that have winning records after 6 weeks.
Mm.
Only 10. Six are in the AFC, four in the NFC. And two of them, one is the Colts at 3-2-1, and the other is Tennessee at 3-2 because they had a bye last week. So that's the nature of where the NFL is right now, and I'm not sure what the rest of this season is going to look like. You know, last year I was tracking on a week-to-week basis the incredible number of games there were with teams scoring 30 or more points. And how's this for a number for you? After six games last year, there were 55 teams that had scored 30 or more points in a game. This year, after 6 weeks, there were only three this past week. There's only been 29.
Wow.
Compared to 55.
Defense is back.
You know, defense is a part of it. But I think a lot, like we were talking about, is offensive line. A lot of these quarterbacks, you know, when you have so much, there's so much volatility from year to year in the NFL with head coaching changes, with then a team loses an offensive coordinator because they become a head coach. And so you have all those changes on offense. And then you have this year, probably more than most years, where all these quarterbacks have gone to new teams. And you had preseasons where nobody's playing practically at all. And so the beginning of the regular season almost is an off season, or I'm sorry, is almost a preseason for a lot of those offenses. And when you have new quarterbacks, a new teams, new coach, you know, being with a new coach, man, you see a lot of these guys that are just, you know, just playing okay. You know, Wilson, Ryan, I mean, name them. I mean, Carson Wentz, and now he's hurt. So there's a lot of that that's been going on around this league in the first 6 weeks, and it's definitely affected overall the quality of play.
Howard, always enjoy the conversation. Look forward to catching up again next week.
Look forward to it, guys. Take care.
It's Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Jack Easterby, I wonder if he called it HR whenever he got let go yesterday. What the former Houston Texan players are saying about the former executive VP. Speaking about HR&P, of course, short for Human Resources and Payroll, we all know by now it's Cougar owned by Mike Holley. Members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row, going on a decade now. You've seen the HR&P signage of the U of H games. You've seen they're building off the Beltway with that beautiful U of H flag hanging outside of it. But business owners, at their core, HR&P is trying to help you. HR compliance, they can help there. Benefits administration, there as well. Payroll, yep, they got that too. Onboarding, yep, they got that. They can do it all. HR&P can help in all of those areas, or they can help in just one of those areas. There's no boxes with an HR&P. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HR&P will completely customize a plan for whatever you and your business needs. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, like maybe HR compliance. You want to take all of it off your plate. HR compliance, onboarding, pair, all of it. They want to run the whole gambit. HR&P will find a way to help. They also do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. You'll trust that. You'll never have a problem with that. But you'll fall in love with their service as well. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business needs. Look, I'm an employee of an employer who uses HR&P. I've had questions about insurance. I've had questions about baby insurance. And they're always very helpful and they're always very timely. So do your employees a favor. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.